out of dry ground, a tender plant, revealed as God's right hand, the bread of life to the dying man. He is the great I am. He came to bear our grief and pain, born to die only to rise again, rising with death and life in his hand. He is the great I am. He is the gift wrapped up in flesh, to die for you and me. Had no form, no comeliness, but he's beautiful to me. Can face a brand new day, for my past has been washed away. Now I have home, sweet peace and joy, because of this baby boy. Who'd rather die than to live without me? Who would lay down his life on a tree? No greater love, no greater love has man ever seen. He is beautiful to me. He is the gift wrapped up in flesh, yeah, to die for you and me.
Listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it's written for you. Believe in His promises, God can.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McClain.
Last week we looked briefly at some of the prophetic words that were given hundreds of years before the birth of Christ with absolute, total accuracy. Nowhere else in all of history do we find this reality where truth and prophetic accuracy with details is given hundreds of years in advance of the actual events. This morning we are going to continue with that theme somewhat, but we are going to move toward the prophetic pronunciation. We looked last week at the distant view of the prophets, but today we're going to see the fulfillment beginning and a new prophetic voice is brought to Israel and raised up to speak. In Malachi chapter 4, looking at the last couple verses, the New Living Translation says, "Look, I am sending you the prophet Elijah." When am I sending? God is saying, "I am sending the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives." Hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, the day of the Lord is being made mention of. The day when God will bring judgment upon this earth. Here it is in Malachi, the last book in the First Covenant. Some would call it the Old Testament. I hate to call it old because it lays a foundation for everything in the New Covenant. But the First Covenant. "Look, I'm sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of parents to their children. And the hearts of children to their parents." This is reconciliation. This is restoration in the family. God is saying to Israel and also to us, hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, that before that great day of tribulation, there is going to be a great season of reconciliation and restoration in the family. God says, "I'm sending the prophet." The prophet will come before that dreadful day. And the parents, there's going to be a transformation in their heart. I believe you're still praying with me that is fulfilled in our nation today. Obviously, with 60 plus million abortions, we are not seeing a very strong picture of this revival. This is a prophetic word of revival. It's a prophetic word that I believe breaks the curse of darkness and hardness and deafness of a nation and of a world wherein God says, "I'm going to change the hearts of the parents toward their children again. Some of you know that from my perspective, this is my perspective, I believe that abortion is nothing more than demon worship. I believe it is a demonic sacrifice. But, God is still sovereign, and those little babies will certainly live forever. The enemy has always attacked the children before great events. It happened with Moses. It happened with the birth of Christ. And what is about to happen now? The returning. There is a promise that 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes will be pure virgins that will be raised up in that end time, that will witness for the Messiah. The devil does not know where they are, who they are, what all is going to happen, because he has limited knowledge. But he would love to wipe off the face of the earth every baby if he could. But the Word of God says that in the end time, there will be a revival that moves the hearts of parents back to their children. I believe in part we're seeing a little of it right now in our nation. Keep praying. The battle is not over, but we need to continue to pray for the lives of the children. But it's not just that the parents will have a heart that is turned, that the fathers will have a heart that's turned to their children, but the hearts of the children will once again be turned toward their parents. There will be a restoration of order and respect in our families again. You know what we have now? We have chaos. We have divorce. We have abuse. We have murder with abortion. We have tremendous destruction and division in our families. But this is a prophetic word that speaks of the end times, that there will most certainly be a revival that happens in the nations that will move the grown-ups' hearts back to their children and their children's hearts back to God. Now, this can only happen by the miraculous intervention of God Himself. And I believe that in part is what this prophetic word is saying. Because otherwise, look at the end of this last verse. Otherwise, I will come. God says, I will come. God is coming. Man cannot stop His coming. He is coming. It's a question of who will be saved at His coming. He is coming. But otherwise, if there is not this great awakening and great revival, otherwise, God's still going to come. I will come and strike the land with a curse. Now, some may want to put parts of this in different prophetic seasons and different periods of history. You're welcome to do that. But I see this as, in part, a message for us this morning. This Christmas season, I see the need. I see the promise of Pentecost. 2,000 years now, the Holy Spirit is being poured out. But do any of you have children that are not very receptive this morning, that could use a little more of the Holy Ghost? The Holy Spirit's being poured out, but you could receive a little more in your household, in your family, with your family members. On both the men and the women, and on our children, that our children would not simply be those who know of God because we trained them, we raised them up, but they would be prophets who speak the Word of God. For it says that they will prophetically utter. They won't just have the Spirit poured out, but your sons and your daughters, they shall prophesy. Some of our sons and daughters, in fact, probably all of our sons and daughters, and perhaps all of us here, are yet a part. We've received a part of the stirring, but I am confident that the God I read of in the Word of God has so much more for us as adult believers than we have yet experienced or received. You say, well, Jonathan, these are end times, so don't expect too much. Do not try to speak words like that to me. I've had people endeavor to calm my heart and to give me some sense of solace by saying, why don't you just accept the condition of your son Andrew? Some would say, why don't you just learn to live with the condition that's in your family? Why don't you learn to condition yourself to the conditions of the world that you're living in? Well, this is why we will not do that. Because God has promised so much more. And because He has promised so much more, and because you and I who are born again, and those who have tasted of the Spirit of God, we have experienced so much more, we know that we have only tasted a minor bit of the goodness of our God. And if you're a godly parent that has a heart that is believing for salvation to come to your children and your children's children, and maybe your children's children's children, then we have every right to look at a passage like this and say, amen. It's for my house. Restoration. Healing. I believe some that are divorced are going to be reunited. I believe some families that have said we have irreconcilable differences will find when they bow their knee at the cross that the power of a loving God and a Messiah that saves them and a Holy Spirit that transforms them, they will find that they're able to forgive where they have been angry and bitter and filled with strife, that God is going to be reconciling and restoring. I believe there's going to be some young people that have lived through divorce, pain, anger, fighting within the family, that are even this morning saying, there must be something better than this. Young people who have learned from their parents to live lower than the animals, having sex with whoever outside of marriage, and considering that as an acceptable life, I believe there are young people that are going to say, surely God had a better plan, and surely God has a better plan. This revival, this awakening, this transformation of parents to their children, children to their parents, is miraculous because only God can heal the wounds that are in some of our hearts. Some will be listening, some will be watching this morning, who have such deep hurts. You have been used, you've been abused, you've been maybe lied to, maybe you have been taken advantage of, and in your heart, there is not room to really love and understand who God is and who you are. But I must say that now are the days for this scripture to be manifest amongst us. Can you believe with me this morning that from Malachi, as the word of the Lord is coming forth, that we are living in this day where there is available a transformation of parents and children and wounded hearts and wounded families. Please understand that the division in our land is not an accident. It's been planned and has been purposefully put in motion by agendas of hell. Because our nation, at its point in history, has been a voice to the nations, a missionary voice, a voice and a nation that has carried a burden for the nations. Oh, at other times there were other nations, but over, not so much in the last few years, but in our history, this nation has been used by God, and we as the people of God have been used to carry the gospel to the nation. And once again, here we are at what I believe is the edge of the precipices. I believe the day of the Lord is coming soon. And I believe the people of God must be aware of the season of God in which we live. Now I would ask that you turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, I want to begin reading with verse 11. We just read that God's going to send the prophet. Here in verse 11, chapter 1 of Luke, Zechariah was in the sanctuary when an angel of the Lord appeared. Zechariah was in the sanctuary when an angel of the Lord appeared, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was overwhelmed with fear, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for God has heard your prayer." God has heard your prayer. Now I want you to listen as we read this and understand Zechariah is fulfilling his Levitical priesthood duties. But he's a man of prayer. He's a godly man, and he has been praying. However, you will see that he is shocked when God says, "I'm going to answer your prayer." "You will have great joy and gladness. Many will rejoice with you at his birth. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or hard liquor. This is this child. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will persuade many Israelites to turn to the Lord their God." Verse 17 tells us, "He will be a man with the spirit and the power of Elijah, the prophet of old. He will precede," don't miss this, "he will precede the coming of the Lord." So we just read in Malachi, the prophet saw this coming, didn't know when, didn't know all the details, didn't have the exact date, but saw this very day coming. And then look at the last part of this verse. "He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children." Does that sound a little bit like Malachi? "And he will change disobedient minds to accept godly wisdom." This is the coming of John the Baptist, right? The promise, the prophetic word. Now run with me over to Isaiah 7:14. We were there last week, but we're not going to park there. We're just going to look there for a moment. Isaiah 7. "All right then, the Lord himself will choose a sign." Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. "The Lord himself will choose a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel. God is where? God is where? Emmanuel is God is with us. That's important for us to know. He has not abandoned us. God is with us. Goes on as the prophetic word is being given, but I want to jump to chapter 8 of Isaiah, and I want to just share this part with you, starting with verse 11. Isaiah, now 8, verse 11. The Lord has said this to me in the strongest of terms. Do not think like everybody else does. Huh. Interesting, that would be tied into a messianic prophecy. That it would be right here mixed in with these words that God has given to Isaiah. Do not think like everyone else. Oh, here it is, verse 12. We've just been at war with this demon spirit of fear. Do not be afraid that some plan conceived behind closed doors will be the end of you. Do not fear anything except the Lord Almighty. He alone is the Holy One. If you fear Him, you will need fear nothing else. The nation was facing perilous, difficult times where they had no answers for what was going to happen. But the verse ahead of this, that in verse 9 and 10, it's looking at the Assyrians. But the cry is, for God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. Do not think like everyone else. Do not be afraid. Do not fear anything except the Lord Almighty. You need fear nothing else. We're closing out a year that has been a year of fear. The pandemic has marched through the street and through our families and through the media and across the nations of the earth with a spirit of fear. God's word to His people is, Emmanuel, God is with us. Fear not. Don't be afraid of what's being planned behind closed doors. Our nation has had lying spirits at work behind closed doors. Do not be afraid of their conclusions and their decisions, because Emmanuel is with us and God is still sovereign in the heavens. I love verse 17. I will wait for the Lord to help us. Not going to live in fear. While I wait for the Lord, who is Emmanuel, the Lord who is with us. He's not far away. He's right here. But I will wait for the God who is right here to help us. Though He has turned away from the people of Israel, my only hope is in Him. Can you hear these prophetic words? Given hundreds of years ago, over 2,000 years ago, the Messiah is coming. His name will be Emmanuel, God with us. And regardless of the generation you live in, do not think like everyone else. We know what we're to think on. We're to fasten our mind. We're to fix our eyes on the truth of God and His Word and on our soon coming King. I've got to read it one more time before I move on. The Lord has said to me in the strongest terms, do not think like everyone else. Do not be consumed by the crowd.